ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are discussing Canto 4, Chapter 25, Verse number 47. So the chapter is the characteristics of King Potanjana.
Kadyota virmukhi chapra Kadyota virmukhi cha prag Kadyota virmukhi cha prag
Kadyota virmukhi cha prag
Dwarav ekatra nirmite
Dwarav ekatra nirmite
Dwarav ekatra nirmite Vibrajitam janapadam
Vibrajitam janapadam
Vibrajitam janapadam Yatitabhyam dhyumatsakam
Yatitabhyam dhyumatsakam
Yatitabhyam dhyumatsakam Khadyota virmukhi cha prag
Khadyota virmukhi cha prag
Dwarav ekatra nirmite Vibrajitam janapadam Yatitabhyam dhyumasakham Kadyotya virmukhi cha prag Dwarav ekatra nirmite Vibrajitam janapadam Yatitabhyam dhyumasakham Kadyota of the name Kadyota Avirmukhi of the name Avirmukhi Cha also Prag towards the eastern side Dwarav two gates Ekatra in one place, Nirmite, were constructed. Vibrajitam, of the name Vibrajita, Janapadam, city, Yati, used to go, Tabhyam, by them, Dhyumat, of the name Dhyuman, Sakha, with his friend. The two gates translation by Srila Prabhupada. The two gates named Kadyota and Avirmukhi were situated facing the eastern side, but they were constructed in one place. Through those two gates, the king used to go to the city of Vibrajita, accompanied by a friend whose name was Dhyuma. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The two names Kadyota and Avirmukhi mean glowworm and torchlight. So the two names Kadyota and Avirmukhi mean glowworm and torchlight. This indicates that of two eyes, the left eye is less powerful in its ability to see. Although both eyes are constructed in one place, one is stronger than the other in the power to see. The king or the living entity uses these two gates to see things properly, but he cannot see unless accompanied by a friend whose name is Dhyuman. This friend is the sun. Although the two eyes are situated in one place, they have no power to see without the sunlight. Vibrajitam Janapadam. If one wants to see something very clearly, which is Vibhrajitam, he must see it with two eyes and the assistance of his friend, the sunlight. Within this body, everyone is a king because he uses his different gates according to his own will. Although he is very much proud of his power to see or hear, he is nonetheless dependent on the assistance of Mother Nature or Nature. So, kadyota virmukhi cha prag dvarav ekatra nirmite vibhrajitam janapadam yatita bhyam dhyoma sakha. Translation, the two gates named Kadyota and Avarmukhi were situated facing the eastern side, but they were constructed in one place. Through those two gates, the king used to go to the city of Vibhrajita, accompanied by a friend whose name was Dhyoma. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lita Krishna Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam. The Supreme Person of Godhead has the form of Satchitananda Vigraha, transcendental bliss, knowledge and eternity. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him who turns the dumb into an eloquent speaker and enables the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. Pangam langayate sailam mukam avartaye sutim yat krupatamaham vande Krishna Chaitanyam Ishwaram. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man recite Vedic literature. Sri Chaitanya Padamboja Madhupebhyo Namo Namaha Katanchit Ashayad Esham Swapitad Gandhabhag Bhavet. Let me repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto the bee-like devotees who always taste the honey of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If even a doggish non-devotee somehow takes shelter of such devotees, he enjoys the aroma of the lotus flower. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Karobhyascha Krupa Sindhubhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Te Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshakarini Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I take the shelter of this two verses. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate girim yat krupa tamaham vande paramananda madhavam. That he turns the dumb into an eloquent speaker and enables the lame to cross mountains. And pangam langayate sailam mukam avartaye sutim yat krupa tamaham vande Krishna Chaitanyam Ishwaram. As whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man can recite Vedic literature. So this is my shelter for today's discussion. Sorry, I'm... continue to have health, cough, cold, fever. Sorry? Yeah. So this particular chapter 25, is the characteristics of King Puranjana. And who is a Puranjana? We are all Puranjana. And what is the goal of a Puranjana?
To enjoy.
The soul somehow wants to enjoy, and therefore Krishna facilitates this body. And in the previous verse, the gates were described that, my dear king, of the 9 doors, 5 led towards the eastern side, 1 led towards the northern side, 1 led towards the southern side, and 2 led towards the western side. I shall try to give the names of these different doors. So that was the previous verse. So therefore in this verse, the 2 gates are being described. They are the Kadyota and Avirmukhi. And these 2 gates are situated on the eastern side, the front side. And they were constructed in one place. And what are these 2 gates? These 2 gates represent the
2
eyes. But interestingly, the 2 names Kadyana mean glowworm and torchlight. So indicating that one of the eye can see less compared to the other eye in terms of vision. So this indicates that the left eye is less powerful in its ability to see. Although both eyes are constructed in one place, one is stronger than the other in the power to see. So this is interesting because we think that our vision is equal in both the eyes. But here Prabhupada is saying that, well, that's not true. That in one eye, it's like glowworm. Worm which glows, and you can see that glow only during
night
time or in a dark place. And the torchlight is okay, it's better than a glowworm, so therefore its visibility is more. So the right eye is compared to a torchlight with a better vision compared to the left eye. And I was trying to find out, is this true from the science perspective as well? So then when I made a search, I found that they give that name called amblyopia. So this is, medically it is said that it's a lazy eye. So though both eyes are open, one is processing the visual input more than the other. And I believe most tend to have this. So it's not that only one or two cases. Majority of us have this problem. It's not a problem, it's a design by the Supreme Lord, that one eye is slightly weaker compared to the other eye in terms of vision. And they've given the name as lazy eye. And there is, although scientifically not proved, but someone who is right-handed, majority of the situation, the right eye seems to be more prominent compared to the left eye. Not medically linked, not scientifically proved, but statistics says that if you are a right-handed person, your right eye visibility is better than the left eye. And we find that this is being used especially in sports. For example, someone who is an archer, he has to shoot the arrow. Then he has to shoot the arrow. Depends on whether he's a right-handed or his right eye is prominent or the left eye is prominent. Accordingly, he uses that particular eye to target and release the arrow, because the other eye he can't see properly. Or someone is using, maybe doctors, scientists, they use a microscope. And it's a natural tendency for that person to see either with the left eye or the right eye, depending on that person's focus or that person's visibility. If he finds that seeing to the left eye, it is clearer for him, then he places his left eye and then observes the microscope. Or if he finds that his right eye is more powerful or better vision, then he closes the left eye and sees with the right eye. So therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says in his commentary on this particular verse, and he says that Shruti says, Tasmat Dakshinangam Atmano Viryavattaram, that the limbs on the right side of the body are stronger. So Prabhupada is giving his purport that of the two, one is prominent and the other is less prominent in terms of vision. And Shruti also says the same, and science also seems to be saying the same. Medical science is also agreeing with that both the eyes do not have equal vision. In majority of the cases, one is less prominent or one's vision is less compared to the other. And invariably, it is linked in terms of statistics to the right-handed person to the right eye and the left-handed person left eye. Although, medically, it's not proven. But having said that, these two eyes cannot see anything unless they are helped by their friend. And who is that friend? That friend happens to be Dhyuman. And Dhyuman is considered to be the sun. So therefore, once again, we find there's a hierarchy in the material world. That the hierarchy is that one is controlled and other is the controller. So the living entity, if he wants to see, then he needs the help of the controller or the demigod who is controlling the eye. And this we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, 10th chapter, verse number 8, if someone can open it. The verse translation. The individual person possessing different instruments of senses is called the adhyatmic person, and the individual controlling deity of the senses is called adhidaivi. So the person who is possessing the instrument, that the jiva, is the adhyatmic, and the person who is controlling the instrument or the senses of that person is called adhidaivi. So the last few lines in the purport, so that which therefore the distinction between the individual living entity and controlling planetary deities is in the Annarasamaya body. The sun may have a gigantic body and the man may have a smaller body, but all these visible bodies are made of matter. Nonetheless, the sun god and the individual person who are related as the controller and the controlled are the same spirit parts and parcels of the Supreme Being, and it is the Supreme Being who places different parts and parcels in different positions. And thus the conclusion is that the Supreme Person is the shelter of all. So in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami is trying to indicate to us that yes, there is a living entity, and the living entity has the instrument which are the senses, but each of the sense is under the control of a higher authority. And that higher authority is the demigod. So therefore, I may think that, well, this is my hand, but I cannot move this hand unless the controller of this hand gives me permission to lift my hand. And you can imagine the speed with which that acceptance is given by the demigod. It's not that I want to lift my hand and then after 5 minutes I lift my hand. No, I have the desire to lift my hand and immediately the demigod sanctions it. And the demigod sanctions it under the shelter of that authority of the Supreme Controller. That is the Supreme Lord. So which means that whatever may be happening to us in our life, it is indirectly or it is between the individual living entity and the Supreme Controller. In between we may find that, well, this person has abused me, is only a media, but that person has abused me only because the ultimate controller has given the permission. Just as here the sun god is allowing me to see the object only because sun god is once again under the shelter of the Supreme Lord, and that Supreme Lord has given the permission, and hence he is giving me the vision to see the object. So that is the first aspect of the purpose. This friend is the sun. Although the two eyes are situated in one place, they have no power to see without the sunlight. Vibrajitam janapadam. If one wants to see something very clearly, he must see it with two eyes and the assistance of his friend, the sunlight. So if I have to see, then I need the sunlight, without which these instruments are useless. And anyone can take the role of a demigod, provided we have the required piety, which once again say that whatever I have in this life is based on not just my effort, but based on the piety I have created in my previous life. So therefore, Vedically, we tend to create piety by performing sacrifices. So the performing sacrifices gives me the piety, and based on that piety, I get an environment in which I can enjoy my life. So therefore, at the time of marriage, I think the pujari tends to tell us dharma, artha, kama and moksha. You perform dharma, then you get some piety, and with that piety you can earn some money, and with earning that money you can enjoy your life, and then at the end of the fag end of your life, when you are tired or your senses are of no use, one at that stage you can pray for liberation, and then you get liberated. But that sequence is rejected by Bhagavatam. It says that is kaitava dharma. We are not interested in the progression of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. In the sense, we need to serve the Supreme Lord. And this here, Narada Mahamuni is trying to tell Puranjana, or is trying to awaken Puranjana to the true reality by giving him the required jnana. And then that jnana leads to vairagya, and from vairagya it leads to bhakti. So therefore, someone who is deeply involved in a materialistic activity, trying to tell such a person directly to bhakti, person may not be able to take it. The person will be able to take it in stages. So therefore, some amount of jnana must be given, and that jnana in Bhagavad Gita we start with the confidential knowledge, and that confidential knowledge is that you are not the body, but you are the spirit soul. Or we tend to say that you are a combination of matter and spirit. So because you are a combination of matter and spirit, you have the responsibility towards the body, but at the same time you also have the responsibility towards the spirit. That's the confidential knowledge. But more confidential knowledge than that would be that you are not just a spirit soul, but you are Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nityavas. So therefore, person should be brought to that platform, and then he starts serving the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu. Now the second section, within this body, everyone is a king because he uses his different gates according to his own will. So within this body, everyone is a king because he uses different gates according to his own will. So I was thinking that we tend to think that we are the king because I own these senses and I can use this according to my free will. And this consciousness entangles me in the material world. We have that, there's a plant called pitcher plant. Has anyone seen a pitcher plant? The tendency of the pitcher plant is that when an insect sits on the pitcher plant for its sense gratification, the pitcher plant sucks the insect gradually and then finally digests the insect itself. So therefore, similarly, a living entity tries to enjoy the material world, and in the process he is sucked by the material nature, and therefore we move from one body to the other body and then we are transmigrating in this way from time immemorial. And if you observe very carefully, we find that our existence is conducted by these laws, the law of karma, the law of transmigration. Whatever activity we perform, we get that result. And that result is applied to us by the law of transmigration. So law of karma and law of transmigration decides the way we are born, the family in which we are born, and the enjoyment one can reap by taking birth in that environment. But there is also a third law, which is the law of last remembrance. The thought of last remembrance. So whatever we remember in the last minute of our departure decides our next body, our next life. So somehow, if we can remember the Lord at the time of departure, then we return back home, back to the spiritual world from where we came from. So therefore, in our conduct, we should always remember these three laws: the law of karma, the law of transmigration, and the law of the last thought. So within this body, everyone is a king, and because he uses different gates according to his own will, if you check back the Bhagavad Gita in this context, the third chapter, verse number 37, just 2-3 verses. Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajoguna, Samudbhava, Mahasano, Mahapapa, Vidhi Enam, Ihavairinam. The Lord said, it is lust and then anger arising from the mode of Rajas. Know this as a great devourer, the great sinful one, the enemy. So what entangles the person in this material world is that feeling that I am the enjoyer, or Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi, I am the enjoyer, and therefore in that attitude or in that consciousness, he tends to deploy his senses for sense enjoyment. But the result is that when the lust is not satisfied, then that leads to anger, and then that leads to that anger is because of the mode of Rajas, and this is the great sinful enemy for the living entity. So I'm reading from Balya Vidya, not from Srila Prabhupada. So this was the, I thought some parts were directly relevant to this this particular line. And then the next verse says that as fire is covered by smoke, the mirror by dust, or the embryo by the womb, so knowledge is also covered by lust. So what is the result of that lust? That lust is covered, because of the lust, it covers the living entity. And the covering takes place in three different levels. One is the fire, just as the fire is covered by smoke. The second is the mirror is covered by the dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb. So similarly, the knowledge of the living entity is covered by the lust. So unless the person is given the required knowledge, the person cannot come out of the entanglement. Then the final part, although he is very much proud of his power to see or hear, he is nonetheless dependent on the assistance of nature. So, even though I am interested in enjoying, but that enjoyment is not just by my effort, but it is facilitated once again by the Lord Himself. Because the spirit soul has no ability to enjoy this material world. And where do you find the sequence of verses which talks about this aspect? This is spoken in Bhagavad Gita 15.9 to 15.12, that section. 15.9, I'm just reading the translation. Taking shelter of the ear, eye, skin, tongue, nose, and mind, as well as the action senses and pranas, the jiva enjoys the objects of the senses. So here, for what purpose does he take the senses and go to the next body? That's a question given. And to that, the answer is given. He accepts the senses in order to receive the sense objects. And why do we need the sense objects? Is to enjoy our lives. But if you observe carefully, we find that the spirit soul is spiritual and this is matter. And hence the spirit soul can, truly speaking, can never enjoy matter. Because these two are not the same material, they are not made up of the same composition. One is matter and the other is the spirit. So how can spirit, which is Satchitananda, can enjoy a matter? It's only an illusion, it's a perception. Then the next one, the foolish do not distinguish the jiva leaving the body, residing in it or enjoying the sense objects. So those with the eyes of knowledge realize this Atma. So the person who is an ignorant, he is not able to understand that he is not this body. He is the spirit soul. Or in this material world, it's a combination of the matter and spirit. Because spirit as such does not exist in this material world except for the Supreme Lord. We are all the combination of spirit and matter. So someone says that, who are you? My tendency is to say that I am a spirit soul. But actually I am not a spirit soul in this material world. I am a combination of spirit and matter. Yes, Prabhu.
We will say our material name, address. First thing we will say, I am so and so.
Yeah. First thing is I identify myself with my name.
Completely with body.
Yeah. Then my qualification, my country, my parentage. So that's how we tend to say. But equally, it's an incomplete understanding if I say that I am the spirit soul. Because in this material world, I cannot be just as a spirit soul. I am a combination of matter and spirit. And hence we have two different levels of our responsibility. The responsibility towards body, which is matter, and the responsibility towards the spirit. Do you all agree with that? Yes, Gopanish Prabhu? Because generally we tend to say that I am a spirit soul, But actually that's not true. I'm not just a spirit soul. I'm a combination of spirit soul and matter. Yeah, but I'm Brahmasmi, I'm spirit soul. But that's not true. That is true only in the spiritual world. In the material world, I'm a combination of spirit and matter. So therefore, in mathematics, when you want to draw the diagram, we draw the Venn diagram. Has anyone seen the Venn diagram?
Yeah.
The two circles. So one circle is matter and the other circle represents the spirit. So I cannot show them two separate circles. I need to show the intersection. So I draw one circle and then an overlapping circle. So where these two circles meet, that common area, that area is the jiva.
Intersection.
Yeah, the intersection is the jiva. It's not just the circle of matter, not the circle of the spirit, but it's an intersection. So when we discharge our duty towards the matter, well, everyone tries to do it, but it can be done both dharmically or adharmically as well. But to discharge duty towards the spirit, we need to hear Krishna Katha, or we need transcendence. And that's the reason why we hear Bhagavatam or we chant Hare Krishna Mantra. Why is that? We are constantly bombarded only with material energy. From morning we get up till night we sleep. We find maybe for a little while we get up, we take our ablutions and then get ready and we are off to office, and the time return home till 10 o'clock we sleep. If you observe carefully the activities performed by majority of the jivas, we find that they are constantly bombarded with only material energy. And with that bombardment of material energy, the person gets more and more entangled only. And the only way the person can be released from that entanglement is when the person is exposed to spiritual energy. And the spiritual energy is by hearing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And hearing Krishna Katha. So unless we hear Krishna Katha, our consciousness is not lifted from the matter to the spirit. So now, entering the earth, we take the shelter of the senses for the enjoyment. Then the next verse, the foolish do not distinguish the jiva leaving this body, residing in it, enjoying the sense object. Those with eyes of knowledge only realize that they are not the body, but they are beyond the body. The life symptoms comes from beyond the body, not from the body. Then the next verse, endeavoring yogis see the soul situated in the body. Those with impure heart, though they may endeavor, do not see. Since only a person with knowledge can see that he is not the body, but he is beyond the body. And the next verse, which is what Prabhupada is trying to say here, that although he is very much proud of his power to see or hear, he is nonetheless dependent on the assistance of nature. That know that the light of the sun, moon and fire, which illuminates this universe, is my light. Therefore, in commentary, I alone accomplish the material enjoyment for my amsha. The jiva who is attached to the material world, and I alone accomplish the liberation for the jiva desiring freedom from the material world. This is explained in the next four verses. So whether I want to enjoy my material life or whether I need liberation, both are facilitated by the Supreme Lord. It's not that I want to enjoy, therefore I can deploy my senses and then the so-called enjoyment I can have. Unless the Lord facilitates that, doesn't happen. And equally, the liberation also, the jiva is striving for from the material world, again the Lord has to facilitate. And how does the Lord facilitate the liberation for the jiva? Because the Bhakti Devi, which connects the Bhakta and Bhagavan, which is the Supreme Lord, needs a media to manifest in the heart of a jiva. Bhakti Devi does not manifest directly from the Supreme Lord. Bhakti Devi needs a medium, and that medium is a bhakta. It is the mercy of the bhakta that the jiva receives, and that's a causeless mercy. And the causeless mercy of the bhakta follows the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord's mercy directly does not is given to the jiva. The Supreme Lord's mercy follows the mercy of that bhakta, who is a medium through which the bhakti manifests in the heart of the other living entity. And hence the association of devotees. If the mercy was flowing straight from the Supreme Lord, then everyone would be a devotee. All the 8 billion population on this planet must be devotees. But not all of them are devotees. Then bhakta also, we have three categories or three levels: the kanista, the madhyama, and the uttama. Uttama, he sees everyone as a devotee. Kanista, he himself is on a lower platform, so therefore he is not able to give the mercy. So who gives the mercy among the three? It is the madhyama. Because the role of a madhyama is to discriminate. Someone who is envious, he avoids that person. Someone who is innocent, he gives his blessings. With his equals, he shares Krishna Katha. And with the superior, he receives their association. He serves them and receives their association. So therefore, the Bhakti Devi manifests from the heart of a madhyama, from his causeless mercy. Or as Prabhu said, the Uttama comes to the platform of madhyama, and then the mercy comes from such a devotee. We have that famous example of Srila Prabhupada. I think that was in Surat, when he was heavily criticizing in a Pandal program the others, their process, the typical yogi, the impersonalist, he was heavily criticizing. And then somebody from the audience, they came and said, Prabhupada, you're not supposed to criticize others, you are supposed to see everyone equally. You are an Uttama, you are a Swamiji. And Prabhupada said that, I am not an Uttama. But at that stage, Prabhupada wanted to convey a message to the audience, and therefore he has lowered to the Madhyama Adhikari and he was criticizing everyone. So immediately he said, I'm not an Uttama Adhikari. So therefore I can't see with equal vision. Yeah, Prabhupada, you can. So what does it mean? It means that if we want the spiritual energy, that spiritual energy or Bhakti Devi manifests in us only from the medium of another bhakta. And to whom does that bhakta give his bhakti? We don't know. It is his causeless mercy. That's the reason why devotees go on Harinam. So when they go on Harinam, the seed of bhakti is sown in the heart of the living entity. By chance at that time, someone passing through, someone hears Krishna Katha. So then that Ajnata Sukriti is created in such a person. Or you give some prasadam, then Ajnata Sukriti is created in such a person. And then the journey on the spiritual path starts for such a living entity. So here Krishna is saying in chapter 15 verse number 12 that even the whether you want to enjoy or whether you want liberation, both are facilitated by the Supreme Lord. So therefore the living entity is totally dependent on the Supreme Lord, who is totally independent. He facilitates the jiva's enjoyment through intermediate agencies like the demigods, the higher authorities. So therefore know that the light situated in the sun, in the moon and in fire, which illuminate the whole universe, belongs to me. Actions for attaining jiva's enjoyment according to his karma are accomplished by the light of the sun which has risen and the fire which is blazing. These actions are causes of happiness and destroy darkness and lethargy for the jiva. When the moon rises, there is nourishment of herb, dissipation of heat and pain, and relaxation in the moonlight. So the light which produces these effects in the sun, moon and fire is my bhuti or my light. So therefore whatever vision we seem to be having is based on the sunlight, and that sunlight is coming once again. The sun is able to glow is because of the Supreme Lord. Imagine that if there is no sun. It was estimated, I think, in Illinois that if there was no sun and one wants to illuminate the whole city just like the sun illuminates the city during the daytime, for a month of illumination, they estimated that I think it would cost something like $70 or $80 billion. One city for a month. To illuminate like sun, you need about $70 to $80 billion. So imagine if you had to illuminate the entire planet like that of sun, how much energy is required or how much money is required, and then only we will be able to see things for our enjoyment.
We can't remember.
But what's the relevance?
Of?
If there's no sun, there's no life.
Exactly.
There is no sun, there is no life. Yes, in a way, but there are living entities we don't require sun also. They live in total darkness.
So what matter does it, how much it costs? If it's $1 trillion, $1 billion, $1 billion. What's the relevance?
Relevance of?
Of putting a price on something.
Price of something is only, that means that how much we owe back to nature, so therefore how much grateful we should be to the nature, and hence how we should serve the nature back again. That's what the point of context.
So if I'm grateful, I owe nothing. My gratefulness is my action.
Yeah, you are grateful. That's what Krishna wants, that you accept that, well, you are dependent, and through that dependence you are humbly saying that, well, my existence or my pleasure is dependent on a higher authority. The moment I accept that, my journey starts, because I'm accepting a higher authority. That's what is required.
Giving thanks.
Sorry?
Giving thanks.
Yeah, giving thanks. When does the spiritual journey start? The spiritual journey starts by accepting a higher authority. First we accept a higher, visible higher authority, and then from that visible higher authority we get the knowledge that yes, there is an ultimate controller, and when you start accepting the ultimate controller, you serve the ultimate controller, and therefore your journey back home, back to Godhead, the path is laid down. Isn't it?
What that, huh?
Think about it.
I have to. If today is a beautiful day, I appreciate it. Sometimes because the day before wasn't.
Yeah, so that is at one level. But that level is not sufficient enough to move on the spiritual path. That's what majority of the population thinks. Well, yesterday the sun, there was rain, it was cloudy, it was humid. It was not favorable for me to go outside, but today it is bright, sunny, therefore I can run on the beach or I can walk outside.
So, but if the weather is different for everybody on the earth, and we're all devotees, we all see it differently, because it's different weather from here just to Brisbane or to Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone sees it different.
Mm-hmm.
Not every day is the same.
Yeah.
For anybody, in any situation.
Right. So what's the point?
That is the point.
No, but what is that we are trying to convey through that?
What is saying, the level of knowledge, your knowledge, that will depend on you.
I didn't get what you're trying to say then. Yes, there is the difference from one day to the other, that you try to see. But behind that, if you are able to see the required intelligence, who has created this?
But I am who I am.
Yeah.
If I touch myself, I feel it.
Right.
I can't turn my body off.
Nobody's asking.
I think it's okay to say that I am the spirit inside the body, and that's the easy way.
Mm-hmm.
That my body will betray me every day, and especially as I get older.
So what is the last sentence you said? My body?
My body will betray me every day.
My body?
Especially as I get older. So my feelings will change.
Okay.
Which will change my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And?
It's not an easy road.
Yeah, nothing is an easy road. It's not an easy road. The fact, the thoughts changes for what? Whether it is changing towards the spirituality or the changing towards, okay, I am becoming old, I am going to die.
The words in a book don't change.
Gita, yes.
The words in the book don't change. But my perception from one day to another, where I read the same words, man.
Because this is spiritual, it changes. Had it been material, it won't change. Because it is spiritual, depending on my level of consciousness, accordingly I get different understanding from the same verse, same line.
But my level of consciousness can change, and does change.
Yeah, but your consciousness also changes.
Someone else's life, or what happens to them, can change my consciousness in a heartbeat.
Yes, if you are receptive, yes, it changes.
But we're all receptive.
Not necessarily. If we were receptive, we wouldn't be in this body now, because the fact that we are here, it implies from the spiritual perspective, we have been here since time immemorial. You cannot date back when we have come into the material world. That long we have been here.
So when I come to that realization, why shouldn't I just give up? What's the point?
No, I'm not trying to understand what you're trying to convey.
If I come to the level of realization that everything, I'm not the body, nothing matters, only go back to Godhead, why bother to eat, why bother to drink? I'll come to that level.
Can I ask? I surrender.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't want to go.
Yeah, that if you can rise to that level of consciousness, that's excellent. That you are not the body, you are the spirit soul, and you are part and parcel of Supreme Lord, and therefore you need to serve Him. That's the journey back home to back Godhead, and that's the best of the consciousness one can have.
But in your person, you're
teaching
others,
giving
knowledge.
So it's not a step.
If you become a Paramahansa, still you have to teach your neighbors, your friends, your relations. You may be a Paramahansa.
Yeah. See, whatever little knowledge, understanding we have to share with others.
Exactly. Share.
And that's what Krishna says in Gita, in 18th chapter. That person is dearest to me who shares this confidential knowledge with others. It's not enough that I move forward, but I need to move forward with the others. Take everyone to the same platform, to the same level.
18.78.
Yeah. Is that what you are trying to say?
I can say I don't know what I'm trying to say at times.
Okay, good enough. That's what majority of us do, that we don't know what we are doing. I had a teacher when I was doing my degree. It was an electrical engineering subject. His name was P. Hanumantarao. He was lecturing on a particular aspect on electrical engineering.
Hyderabad University?
Usman University. And we were all students sitting. So obviously there were students who were regular, who would sit in the front bench. There were students who were not that regular or not sincere, or for whatever reasons, we were sitting in the back. And after giving lecture for 15-20 minutes, he suddenly stopped the lecture. Because the guys who were in the front, for whatever he was saying, they were nodding their head. And the lecture suddenly stopped and he said, "Mai kya bol raha hu, mujhe samajh mein nahi aa raha, tum kyon mundi hula rahe ho?" He says, "Whatever I'm saying, I myself don't know. How is that you are shaking your head?" So something like that you seem to be saying, that I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, so coming back to the verse, so therefore we find that Prabhupada divides this section into three parts. The first part talks about the senses, which are the two eyes. And the two eyes, one of them is a weaker eye compared to the other one, which is stronger in terms of vision. And science equally, medical science seems to agree to that, saying that yes, between the two eyes, one of them, in most of the cases, it has a stronger vision. And they've given the name aplopia or the lazy eye. But however, these instruments do not work unless they are guided by a higher authority. And that higher authority in this case happens to be Dhyuman, and that human is representing the sun. So therefore, the context of the two eyes needs vision, and that vision is possible only in the presence of light. And the second aspect of the purport is that within this body everyone is a king, but we tend to think that we are the enjoyers. Ishwaraham aham bhogi, I think I am an enjoyer. And if I have that tendency that I am the enjoyer, it's only further entangling me in this material body. It's not going to give me the detachment from the body. That jnana I'll not have because I will place, because of the tendency to enjoy, that leads, if I'm denied, to anger, and that anger leads to illusion, and this cycle continues. So therefore, the only way we can understand, we can detach from matter, is that this body is an instrument for a higher purpose rather than for my own enjoyment. So that's where we find the third chapter, couple of verses. Kamayesha, Krodayesha. Then the last part, although he is very much proud of his power to see or hear, he is nonetheless dependent on the essence of nature. Thus, I indicate that whether I want to enjoy or whether I look for liberation, both are facilitated by the Supreme Lord Himself. Without His facilitation, I cannot have either of them. So therefore, I am totally dependent on the higher authority or the ultimate authority. If I acknowledge that, then my journey has started towards back home. Till then, I'll be in this material world. Any questions, any comment?
May I talk about Jiva? Where is that terminology coming from? That generally we understand there is the Atma. Atma can refer to what thing, but still referring to Atma as soul. And we understand the cowardice, that Lentros, that the position in the material world. And you are indicating that the whole combination as Jiva. Where is the terminology coming from?
I think if I'm not mistaken, 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada uses the term Jiva.
No, that is fine, because Jiva, when Prabhupada uses, given in the introduction, throughout, Jiva is actually referring only to the spirit soul. And but Jiva is considered as eternal.
Yeah, but I think in 7th chapter, I don't have Bhagavad Gita as it is in front of me. I think in 7th chapter somewhere Prabhupada uses the word Jiva.
No, Jiva he uses in the 7th, 4th, 7th, 5th.
And there, he tends to say that it's a combination of matter and spirit.
Okay, because generally, if you see the introduction, Jiva is internal, that's what Prabhupada says, not as a combination.
Check in 7th chapter.
Yeah, I have it. 7-5. Basically 7-4 and 5 where Prabhupada is referring to Bhumirava and Vaiva and then Abhinaya.
No, 6th verse. All created beings have their source in these two natures, of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world. Know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. So here is saying, Prabhupada is saying the translation of all that is, all created beings have their source in these two natures, both matter and spirit.
Yeah.
Everything that exists is a product of matter and spirit. Spirit is the basic field of creation. Spirit is not created. The material world is developed because of spirit is present within matter. Entire cosmic manifestation which combined to manifest a fragmental part of the Lord, namely And Krishna, the Supreme, is the cause of both the big and small, so therefore is the original. So then I must have read it somewhere. Here it speaks only the combination of both sources.
So there is the general reference of Prabhupada, Jiva is generally refers to the spirit. Because if you see that
in the Bhagavad Gita,
the five parts. There also Ishara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma, and you see, he says that here, of course, it's the four channel which includes Jiva.
Jiva.
General reference, if you see, Jiva is referring to the spirit soul. Not exactly as a combination.
But I don't know where I have read that combination as well. But somehow my mind says that I have read it somewhere.
And personally, when you talk about the Venn diagram, usually instead I use the Venn diagram, it looks like the matter and spirit are merging. You know, there is kind of that forming it. But when you think, usually I use concept circles. Many
heavens
and two
yeah. I draw the two circles intersecting with each other.
No, because when we have concentric circles, it's like the soul is there and it is its consciousness emanating through the subtle and the gross body. It's covered. The soul is covered rather than merging, because at no point there is actually a merging.
It's not merging, but even that diagram I've seen in one of the, I don't know where I've seen, but it is see, I've seen in a senior Vaishnava presenting that diagram. This is couple of years back, I had seen that diagram. Two circles, one matter and other spirit. I think if I can pull out that PowerPoint slide, if I can pull it.
You have two circles, you can only see one, you can only see it in that, you can't see the spirit. Can you?
No, the concept being covered is that it's a combination of matter and spirit. Matter is there, spirit is there, they are circle, there's a common area.
So that is why the confusion arises when we refer Jiva, if you are, you know, as a terminology, you say Jiva is only, or living entity is only that combination. So that's where the.
What
happened?
Okay.
Good. This is another issue. No, I understand what you're saying.
Good. The fact that I'm saying it implies that I've heard somewhere. Now, where, how I've heard, I can't tell you.
Because the Prabhupada is constantly referring to Jiva to the Atma.
To Atma.
Not as a combination.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about these two circles. But there is one more circle, and that is the one which decides really where we have consciousness and so on. So this activity circle, so it can go towards material, it can go towards the spiritual. So that can make us dominate which way we want to go.
But then that is based on our own desire, where we want to go. Because he only facilitates. Finally, the desire comes from the individual soul. And actually, we have only that the free will is meant only for these two, either to take a step towards Krishna or to move away from Krishna. This is the only free will we have. And that decides our journey. Yeah, that decides our journey. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Shri Krishna Prabhu, for such a wonderful analysis of the whole thing. As we know, a child may be born in a king's family, and he is blind, and he will take only 12 months. Before that, he will not be free, frolicking all around. Now, the king is asking the doctor, why my child is blind? Doctor says, there is a retinoblastoma. And he is not only blind, after a few years, he will lose his eye also. But that's not the explanation. Incomplete. Then he asks the priest, what do you think? Then he comes to your children. Law of karma, law of transmigration, and third thing is, what was he doing at the last moment? Very important. That's why Lord Krishna says, Yamyam Vapi Isman Bhavam, Rajate Kalevram. So whatever we are thinking at the last moment, that will be our fate. We all know that. And how we think of Krishna? Only when we are taxing Krishna consciousness. Like Baba Buddha wrote, yes, he has gone topmost in the world. And he has come completely sadhu. This is one example in front of us. That's what wisdom is not.
So should people be responsible to change other people's karma, knowing that?
Freely.
But as a person now who accepts this, yeah, should I then try to change another person's karma?
Mercy. Mercy comes to generosity. You have to have room.
But the spiritual master didn't give the mercy to allow it to happen.
You see, John, Lord is giving mercy to everyone.
Yeah, I hear.
And he has given us free will.
But if then the child, as you say, is born,
because
of karma.
Good.
It is because of karma.
Yeah.
So then I see, I understand this now. Why should I help when I didn't do it?
You don't know. You know your past life. Do you know your past life? That's what she is explaining. Whatever we have brought is in the whatever family we have, like if your parents have got difficulties, very likely you get that. Because it's genetic.
That's not always.
Not always. Because that's why it's always there. There's nothing like always. Always only a history of people, right? He's in control. He has perfect independence. Swaraj. Swaraj means he can do anything. He can make you a billionaire, a king, or a pauper, or a client. You can ask him, why are you making these things? People ask, why are you getting this? I'm doing good works. I'm doing such nice things. I'm doing charity. I'm making Ramchala, I'm making hospitals, I'm a millionaire. Like Bill Gates. He gives so much money for research.
But that means nothing.
But why is not perfect?
Well, he's far from perfect. If he gave everything, then I respect him.
That's right.
If he just gives a little bit, which means nothing, that means nothing.
Therefore,
a person who's poor and gives everything they have is much more elevated than one of us.
Therefore, Sri Krishna is saying, you have to surrender. You have to find the authority. There is some supreme authority without whose help I cannot exist. Can't walk, can't talk, can't do anything. Completely crippled.
No argument.
Yes, that's why it is called. I asked you about a question, which I asked many times. John is not asking me. This is another John. Now,
yes, problem.
I can hear conflicting views. But one thing that is completely left out of this conversation, and what you've actually tried to portray, is that we all have minute independence, and the Lord does not interfere with that minute independence. And because of that minute independence, we can stay in the material or leave material, and that is the synopsis of your conversation. Now, we may mentally try to leave the material, but it's failing. I think you understand. I think Chris will be able to.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
I've got a question because of your realization. So, how to feel intimacy with Krishna?
How to?
Intimacy with soul and super soul. So, we are soul, we know very well. Mama Sri Prabhu. So, how can human contact? We know we are chanting, we are eating prasadam.
That's progressive.
We are having good association. So we are doing all these things. How to get closer and closer? We have a decision. So what else do you need?
Spiritual
master also the field. Prabhupada was seeing.
It is the greed I should have, lavanyam.
Lust.
Not lust, the greed to develop that spontaneous love for the Lord, which Rupa Goswami says the word lavanyam. I may practice, for example, I may chant, I read Bhagavad Gita, I take prasadam, I hear Krishna Katha, but if I do not have the desire to take Diksha, I'll never get Diksha. The desire should come from me. Then I can approach my spiritual master asking for Diksha. It is not because I am doing all these activities I get Diksha. I should crave for it, I should have that strong desire, and still that is not enough, because finally the spiritual master should shower his mercy. So similarly, if I want to develop that required intimacy or the relationship in one of the five aspects, that is Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, those five, I should be associated or I should follow in the footsteps of that devotee who has that relationship with the Lord. Then I have the chance of getting it.
I can depend on me.
Yes.
I can take it or leave you for me. The small answer I'd like to give you about that. Your professor, Ms. Manya University. My answer will be that I'm shaking my head because I'm trying to understand each word and each sentence. Therefore, I am shaking the head. So, you should take time. But it's a good thing to tell the Lord the verses keeping behind. They are present in the government, out of mind. Presents physically, but mentally, they are somewhere else. With a girlfriend, they saw last night. That is a beautiful thing. What are you talking about? So, it depends your concentration, if you hear. Somehow
you not. Yeah, finally everything depends on us, our desire. Our free will should be used for that.
Lord, I want money.
Yeah.
Why? Because I have a running family, paying mortgage, rent, my car expenses, everything. And girlfriend, she wants so many dinners. If you don't give her dinner, she will give you. Because she can find somebody else. Richard,
doesn't to get married just now.
They are the problem first. How they get your first?
I don't have faith, that's the problem. That is this faith, Shraddha to Prema depends on what level are we.
Rupa Goswami steps. Shraddha. Nine steps.
Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.